In time, I think people will actually forgive Mitch Pearce for Origin. I mean, not as a rugby league player, just as a victim. You know, I actually met Paul Mellor once. I didn't care for him. Made me see things Eddinghausen's way. Actually, it's quite a sad thing. People often tend to forget about poor old Craig Gower, but not if you've played golf with him.
Hello, listeners. My name is Eamon Brown, and thanks for joining us for episode number 5 of The Voluntary Tackle, a show that is still very much in its infancy, or as Kevin Spacey describes, pretty fuckable. Today on the show, we'll be discussing everything Rugby League World Cup, including why the Scottish team aren't wearing kilts, the major fallout following Cooper Cronk's signing at the Roosters, and we'll also be discussing Jarryd Hayne fucking off from the Titans. As always, I'm joined by at least one other NRL nutbag, and today, that happens to be Chip Jones.
Pleasure to be here.
How's things, Chip?
Look, they're pretty decent today. I've worked reasonably long hours today in preparing.
Oh, you prepared for this show?
Well, it wasn't easy.
Okay, well, it's good to know some work's going
into
the show.
I certainly...
Because nothing's been going into it so far.
Well, I'm dedicated, if nothing else.
And what have you? What has your tireless work brought to the surface? Not a lot, really, has it?
Well, I'm reasonably relaxed at this time of night. I mean, I have taken a moment to, enjoy the fruits of... is it fruits of your labour? I don't want to enjoy your labour fruits.
No, that's fine. But enjoy your own fruits. Don't have the fruits of my loins. That would be weird.
Well, you mentioned Kevin Spacey.
I did. That was a bit of a turn up for the books. It's a shame, actually, because I quite like House of Cards.
Yeah, that's tough.
Chip, I think today we should start off the show by discussing Jarryd Hayne. Now, it's just breaking news that Jarryd Hayne has reputedly gone to his manager and asked for a release from the Titans.
Can I tell you what I think he should do?
What's that?
He needs to go to the Roosters.
But I think we could fit him under the cap, couldn't we?
It would be nice if, now that Mitchell Pearce is going to be rotating, I think it's a good idea to have a Roosters B team.
Is rotating code for fucking off? Because we're getting rid of him, aren't we?
Well, no, I think we should have a B team. We should have like Roosters A and Roosters B, and we could field two teams.
So we should form two franchises.
Well, I mean, if you look at it this way, the amount of money that people spend per person, per football team, as a ratio, Nick Politis he's not able to spend any of his money. It's really not fair.
Well, he has a lot to spare, doesn't he?
Yeah, surely he could afford to have two teams. And then, you know, if you got into a situation where they're both in the grand final, then it's win-win for Roosters fans.
Do you think it's unfair that Nick Politis isn't allowed to have two or three teams? Do you think it's sort of infringing on his liberty? Is that the point you're trying to make?
I don't know if I'm trying to make that point particularly, but I think two teams would be good. You could rotate Tedesco between both teams. So you've got to remember that you'd be able to rotate players between A and B teams.
Yeah, that's true.
So we'd be able to get a lot of young, dumb, stupid forwards, $20,000 a year, and just say, look, mate, you just get out there and smash people.
Well, I think there's certainly merit in it. The Roosters effectively splitting off into two groups, kind of like a crown of thorns starfish. Maybe we could multiply into three or four because we obviously have the money to bankroll it.
Well, I think we should call the B team the Gropers. Why don't we call it the Sydney Gropers?
We could do that.
You know, and if we have unfortunate players that do the wrong thing in the weekend, they can go and play for the Gropers.
I think you make a lot of sense. Well, not really, but I'm still on board. But going back to Jarryd Hayne, Chip, do you think the guy has a bit of hide in going to the Titans on a lot of money, not playing particularly well, not turning up half the time, getting rid of the coach, and now that the coach has gone and a new one's come in, he just wants to fuck off to another team?
Well, I don't know. I think he feels that his work is done.
Well, his work is done. If his work was completely destroying the Gold Coast Titans franchise, his work is well and truly done.
You know, I'd like to suggest here on The Voluntary Tackle, we try and raise, $500, say $500 for charity. But we want to see Jarryd Hayne in a Darth Vader costume.
And for what purpose?
Well, he's this guy that kind of just walks in and blows shit up and leaves again.
Oh, okay. He is a bit of a supervillain.
I definitely see where you're coming from. I mean, he is the kind of person...
Well, maybe just like a little Mexican moustache from those old westerns or some kind of criminalistic feature that he could wear.
You're certainly coming across as very racist. Well, Mexican moustache equals criminalistic features. I like where we're going.
Well, you didn't say anything about Darth Vader. I mean, there was no racist part there.
Well, because he's black.
You've got to be consistent here, Eamon. This is not...
Even see his skin pigment, Darth Vader. He's in a costume.
Well, you did see it when they took the helmet off. And when he died, he was like an old white guy.
Was he? Look, I'm not a fan of I'm not a fan of the franchise. I've never really watched it that closely. Yeah. I just know
then,
he walks around with...
And then he died and then, you know, like he's shrank into his clothes or something like they do, the Jedi's. And...
Well, there are pills for that now. Mm. If he, you know, if only he knew the universe could have been a safe place. But, you know, with Jared Hayne... Here's my problem with him. Everything.
How do you fix that?
It is a difficult one. So here's the thing. He's a very talented guy, but he has to be probably a player with one of the worst personalities in the NRL.
Okay, let's say it all falls apart and Jared Hayne gets busted down to touch football division.
That a thing? What a bust down. You're playing in fucking Queen's Park. On the weekend, Jared.
Yeah, you're going to go and play touch football with Chip and Eamon. How would we, manage Jared in our touch football team? I mean, do you just pass him the ball and say, well, you go for it for four tackles and then give
us one?
I'd
say so. Or? I'd say Jared would be so good at park level touch that you just give him the ball.
I'm prepared to take that on.
I guess with Jared as well... he has put the Titans in a very awkward position. Now, what should the Titans do if indeed Jared Hayne does walk and go to one of the Sydney clubs? Now, under his contract, he's getting paid a lot of money, and the chances are that if they grant him a release, they'll still have to pay a fair bit of his contract while he goes gallivanting off and playing for another club. Should the Titans show some balls on this one and not pay him a red cent?
I think that maybe they should pay him a red cent.
Just
send him an old copper.
Just some kind of imperial currency that doesn't exist anymore. Just give him a singular one of those.
Ask him that kind of old question. What's the colour of a 2 cent piece? And he'd be like, what? And you send him a red cent. And then you go, right, here you go.
Okay. How would he take that?
Well, you'd have to post it. You'd have to express post it or something like that. You wouldn't be able to... I mean, you couldn't draw
couldn't
it out
do it in
the
person.
Bank. I mean, you couldn't go, here's a cent... Jared, and he goes and withdraws it from the teller. I mean, I don't know if you've been to the FPOS machines lately, but they tend to only deal in 20s and 50s. So that red cent's really, you're not making much of a point. I'd like to actually give him the physical, spend $4 to express post him the coin. So here you go, here's your red cent.
Just give him one red cent.
Effective immediately.
And just hope he takes the red cent and fucks off somewhere else.
Well, he'll have to, but is he going to be playing in the NRL? He'll probably... he should go and play for the Wallabies. Do you know what I mean? He should just go play for the Wallabies. Like, I know that's,
he's not great at rugby, mate.
Almost off topic, but I think it'd be good for the NRL.
It'd be good for the NRL not to have Jared Hayne. I think you have a point there.
I think it'd be good for rugby league, and I think it'd be good for rugby union.
You certainly raise a good point, because... what Jared Hayne does next is the million-dollar question. And I'm hearing a lot of press, actually, that Jared Hayne may, in fact, join the Parramatta Eels and go back to his old club. Where do you think, Chip, Jared Hayne will end up, if indeed he does end up jumping ship from the Titans and going to one of the Sydney clubs?
You know where I'd like to see him go most of all? I'd like to see him...
Somalia.
I'd like to see him go to Brisbane.
That's close to Somalia, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's the closest. I think so. We're
certainly close culturally.
Along the same lines.
Yep.
But I also like the idea of him taking on Wayne Bennett, because I reckon it could be a step up in class for Jared Hayne to ruin the Broncos, and it'd also be an interesting experiment in trying to get some good football out of someone like Jared Hayne. So.
Well, that'd be a good bout. Could Jared Hayne claim the scalp of Wayne Bennett? I mean, that'd be a hell of a coaching scalp.
Well, I think after that, there's only Craig Bellamy left.
Yeah, if he's good enough.
Take out.
I mean, only if he's good enough. I mean, but the thing is, Jared Hayne's shown a lot of form on the board. I think he could take out anyone.
Well, I mean, he did go to America and become the greatest scoring touchdown player of all time in the history of the game,
according to Jared, yeah,
in any park around the world. And so, you know, and he's never played that game before.
He was the best NFL player never to play a first grade NFL game that there ever was. And I'm happy saying that. But look, mate, enough about Jared Hayne, and we need to talk about another scandalous part of the NRL. And the NRL never disappoints when it comes to delivering controversial stories. And as you may have heard already, if you're not living under a rock, that Cooper Cronk has indeed been signed by the Sydney Roosters. Now,
woo-hoo!
Chip.
Yes, come on, Cooper.
Now, we're both Roosters fans, Chip. But this has certainly put the nose out of joint of one Mitchell Pearce.
See, I don't know about that. I've heard that everywhere, and this is where I've got to kind of stand up and say,
This is what the voluntary tackle is all about.
The media is all about, you know, re-quoting what someone else said. Right. So I saw a newspaper article that was supposedly a re-quoting of what a friend of Mitchell's had said to someone else at some point about how he didn't think it was right that Mitchell would be going through this. Nothing to do with Mitchell said anything, nothing to do with anything like that. So pretty much pure conjecture.
Does sound like hearsay.
Well, look, if you're Mitchell Pearce, right?
Please don't ever say that.
And let's say you're not, you know, broken and twisted and, you know, all the rest of it. But
you said I was Mitchell Pearce.
Okay. So if you happen to be Mitchell Pearce, like if you can bear with me for a moment.
Sorry, mate, I'll let you go.
Lengthen my thought process. You're at an age where you could play for another maybe 5 to 10 years, depending on, you know, how the body holds up, right? Cooper Cronk's going to be there for a year. Maybe a year and a half. He'll probably get injured at some point, or Luke Keary will. So you're going to find that Mitchell Pearce will be playing with another level halfback in the same team, and I'd be taking that on as an apprenticeship to the elite level, not just to being a coach of an NRL team, but learning from someone that plays in the Australian team or the winning Queensland team.
I agree with you, Chip, but here's my thing. As much as you say that Mitchell Pearce hasn't said the things that he's been quoted for saying, I think the things that he actually has omitted is also telling. So the fact that Mitchell Pearce hasn't approached the media and said, Cooper Cronk signing is an awesome thing, I can't wait to learn from Cooper, I think that also speaks volumes. I think Mitchell Pearce's nose is out of joint. I think you're right, he's been misquoted and everyone's jumping on this story because it's a big story. But nonetheless, Mitchell Pearce wants to be the number 7. He wants to be the head honcho at the Roosters.
I understand what you're saying, and mostly I agree with what you're saying there. I just think that, for me, the best part of this is that he hasn't been quoted saying anything, as far as I've seen, right? And he's come back from a time where he was basically shamed into
admitting he's an awful player?
Well, no, the Australia Day kerfuffle.
Well, yeah, that was a shameful day.
Right. Meant that you have to do some pretty serious soul searching after that. You have to go.
You know,
and
the
really
sad thing
about
that is that the dog also felt ashamed, and it shouldn't have.
I don't know what the correct nomenclature is for someone who likes to think that they're a dog and have sex with another dog, or,
well, it's,
you know, people that like to have intercourse with animals. I mean, I know it used to be bestiality, but. Mm.
Well, now the common vernacular now is to just say you've pulled a Mitchell Pearce.
You pulled a Mitchie.
Yeah, if you fucked a dog, okay, you pulled a Pierce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that Pope, you know, he said, I helped 3,000 people and then I built 100 churches. And do you think they're going to call me the people helper or the church builder? You know, you fuck one dog.
Well, I mean, let's face it, in the case of the Pope, he's probably fucked a lot of children too. Swings and roundabouts. Chip, having said all of that, I need your opinions on this. Now, can the Roosters possibly fit Mitchell Pearce, Jake Friend, Luke Keary, and Cooper Cronk under the cap? Now, I think the answer is no. One of them's got to go. In your opinion, what should the Roosters do now that they've signed Cooper Cronk?
I think Jake Friend, I think Cooper Cronk, Mitchell Pearce, Luke Keary. I think you got to get Tedesco in there, in that line. I'd really like to see Hain running on the other angle.
I feel like you're making the problem worse.
It could just be spectacular.
So what are you saying? That it would be okay for the Roosters to own everyone? What's your point there?
Look, if we're going to start that trend, could we have Wayne Bennett come to the Roosters also?
Well, we can't own everyone, Chip. I mean, it's just not fair.
Well, look, I don't think you'd have South fans. I think South wouldn't really want any part of it.
Mm, you don't. You wouldn't buy South fans.
You know, and really,
they would have no utility.
I know that you mentioned before you also wanted to add Greg Inglis to the Roosters roster, but I quite like Greg as a South player because he's carries a whole team.
Do you know who I think would be good for the Roosters? Wally Lewis in his prime.
Can we arrange that? Can we buy that?
Oh, look, if they can get some stem cells into Wally, that'd be amazing. But I wouldn't take post-epileptic Wally.
Mm.
When he's full seizure, he would have his EpiPen in one hand. He'd have his football on the other.
He's looking at his mates. Help me.
Wally's on the sticks and he's in trouble. Well, I think we've probably dissected Cooper Cronk's move to the Roosters enough, Chip. I think it's time to move to the Rugby League World Cup. Now, that is going on and it's very exciting. Now, it opened up with England versus Australia, which I think surprised many people because England were fucking competitive.
Well, they bashed and they scrambled. Their cover defence was sensational.
They played bloody good football, didn't they?
Incredible. It was a bit like watching one of those boxers in a lightweight division, and one of them just gets knocked, and you can see that they're wobbly, but they don't go down. They manage to find their feet, and they just get bashed, and they keep getting bashed, and they don't go down, and that's what it was like. There were some great players, some sharp passing, but you just couldn't beat that cover defense.
I think this isn't controversial to say, but I actually think England were unlucky not to win the game. In the second half, they actually dominated proceedings. I think Australia got the better fist of it in the first half, and they just hung on, Australia, as they do, in that second half, because England were coming home the stronger. There's no doubt about that. And I'll tell you one thing that this England team has that previous teams haven't had. Now, England have always had a great forward pack, but this year, they actually have Gareth Widdop playing for them, who I thought controlled the game and played brilliant football.
Mm.
The Gareth Widdop factor for me means England, for the very first time in a Rugby League World Cup, in my memory anyway, becomes a genuine threat.
Well, they gave Australia a shake for a good long while. I must admit that I thought that Australian presentation dance at the beginning of the game there. Well, look, Cameron Smith somehow had a microphone. Bullshit line about something that no one will ever remember. And they all kind of walked around each other and with like a, it was almost like I wish we had a haka. And those guys look fucking cool. The Australian rugby league team looked like a pack of fucking wimps.
Well, what were they going for? I felt really bad for Jonathan Thurston, right? Because I think that they actually were going for something that was pretty credible. I think Australia should have something before the game that acknowledges our indigenous population, because we're missing a trick if we don't. And you see the haka and you go, it looks really cool, like you said. So it'd be great to have something like that involved. But clearly this misfired, because I think Jonathan Thurston forgot his lines during it, which probably didn't help. And as you said, Cameron Smith kind of looked like an extra out of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. So in your view, say, let's push that aside. Let's say they never do that again, because we can all agree that's a good thing. What should the Australian team have before a game here on in? Should we have our own haka?
That's a really good question. No, I don't think that you should have your own haka. It's a bit like...
amazing.
It's a bit like saying to someone, you know, don't you wish you had your own distinctive, native... thing that you could do.
And but Australia does. Like, we're rich with indigenous native culture. We just don't use it. Am I right?
So you're saying we should use more indigenous culture in our...
Well, we should infuse it into our national team, I think. Because it's a big part of our identity. And
well, you know,
I think
what?
The fact that we don't use it...
A great idea would be to say, all right, well, why don't you tie that in with trying to benefit some people in the Aboriginal community. How can you use that to actually benefit them rather than use it as like, you know, it's beneficial for us to want to get on board with your sacred dance now because it's, you know, PC, or we want to match the Kiwis and their special dance. Well,
let me be clear. I'm not saying we need to do it because of political correctness. I actually think that would be a really cool thing to do, that we have these amazing Indigenous culture in our country that we could actually put on the platform. You know, and look, the New Zealanders are more generally more progressive than Australia on these kind of things, and they got on board early. And the haka as an institution, it is known, it's the most, the All Blacks is one of the most formidable teams in internationally, obviously because of their performance, but also just because of their brand. Their brand, the All Blacks. They don't have to fuck around with their jersey. They don't have to put a logo on it. They're just the All Blacks. And when they do the haka, everyone knows what they're doing. Mm. It's been proud of who the country is. And I think Australia always lag behind on these things. And I think Australia needs to, not just in sport, but like, you know, we should be putting ourselves on the front foot when it comes to promoting ourselves and go, look, we've got an amazing Indigenous culture too. Let's put it on the table.
Look, I really like the Aboriginal dances and the cultural ceremonial dances. Everyone I've seen kind of reminds me of big history for some reason, like, you know, tens of thousands of years of continuous tradition. I think that's the big one. And I think that'd be the best thing for our team to instill, would be this sense of, well, we've been doing this for 40,000 years or so. So we don't need to jump around and maybe poke our tongues out and stuff like that. That's for them. And I think that's cool for them. But I think in Australia, we do things a little bit differently. And
100%.
And the dance or the presentation should reflect that.
Yeah, 100%. We should never be trying to co-opt the culture of someone else. I mean, that the haka isn't, you know, a uniquely Maori thing, and that's great. But, you know, we might,
what
as you said...
What would the English do? I mean, what would their dance be? Yeah. Right? So we get
maybe they
dance
could do Gangnam Style.
And once you've... Yeah, you maybe you could do... They could change it up. Maybe, I mean, they could contextually do like a football chant. I'd really like to see him do like a English Premier League football type chant. Four-part harmony.
Yeah.
Really beautiful.
I want you back
for
good.
That's what I want from the Welsh. I want the Welsh to do like the...
Oh, they could do that You Raise Me Up song.
Okay.
I'm just spitballing with you. Yeah. But they could
potentially
do that.
At me.
Well, no, it's nothing sort of...
You know how I feel
it's
about
not
that?
Under the table.
We talked about that, actually.
Well, no, mate. I think you're taking me too literally. I mean, I'm metaphorically spitballing with you. I'm just... There is no
actual spit on
spit
the ball.
Going on at all. Okay. But no, I think that, you know, if you want to go
they
down that...
I get very upset when people spit on my balls. England may be a force to be reckoned with. So tell me, Eamon, how did you feel about the Tonga performance?
Chip, I got to say, and I know we talked about this before on our last podcast, about Tonga being greatly improved.
There's a lot of hype.
Well, I got to say, I mean, I know they were playing Scotland, but they looked amazing. They actually have a great team on paper. And I'm going to say this without any kind of irony at all. Scotland were good. Like, they got their ass handed to them by about 50 points. And Scotland were not bad. Like, they actually turned up to play. And I'm not even saying that to be funny. They really did. And but if you actually have a look at that Tongan team on paper, it is a first-class international team. And so what I will say is I actually think that Tonga has the chance of matching it with the big guns. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but I really do think that Australia, England and New Zealand are going to struggle to put them away.
Well, how do you feel about Tonga, England?
I actually think Tonga could knock over England. I mean, it would be an amazing game to watch because England have already shown that they have been a good team. I mean, they came out in their opening game and played some serious football. And we're not used to seeing that from England, no disrespect, in rugby league, but we're not used to seeing it. And they really took it to Australia and almost beat us. So to see Tonga take on England, I'd be very interested to see that game. Well, mate, I mean, next week in the Rugby League World Cup, Tonga actually take on Samoa. Now, we again talked about this last week, but to see the island nations take on each other are just amazing games. Like, I actually really gear up for these games. I gear up for them more than Origin now, because we always lose in Origin, so it's not even that fun anymore.
Well, could we introduce the South Chinese?
Well, we could. I mean, they didn't qualify for this World Cup. But I mean, what do you mean introduce? You just want to throw them in? You know, like an intruder in The Bachelor. You want them to come into the game.
I think it's happening anyway. I think you'll find...
You're getting very sort of migration on me. Very Pauline Hanson.
The South China Sea will turn into a rugby league force to be reckoned with. I think great.
I'd bloody love to see the Chinese become great at rugby league.
Give them a few years.
I think they could do it. But I mean, Tonga, Samoa, I mean, you'd imagine Tonga will knock over Samoa. But we'll have a look at a few of the other games here, Chip. We've got Fiji taking on Wales. How do you see that game going?
I like the Welsh. I have a soft spot for the Welsh.
Mm. They were very soft, ironically, as well in their first game.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to win. But I do have a soft spot
for them. Why do you have a soft spot for them? What do you like about them? Is it their harmony singing?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it the fact that they're home to Tom Jones? And the breasts of Catherine Zeta-Jones.
I think the great thing about that is that Tom Jones has been around in the game for so long and is such a great performer. Not one allegation.
He may not look like a pedophile. Oh, wait, he does. So I'm not sure about it, to be honest.
Are they like serial killers? They could be anyone. I mean, do you look like one? Do I look like one?
Well, maybe, because I think in a way we kind of look like your everyman. And sometimes it's the everyman that ends up being the serial killer. Like, do you ever notice that when they interview the neighbours of the guy who's gone loco and he's murdered 40 people and they go, he was a nice guy. Used to chat to him over the fence.
Yeah.
Had a 9-to-5 job. Seemed pretty normal.
Suspicious.
Well, and I've become very suspicious of you now that I've just said all this. Because I figure you actually fit all of that profile. So, indeed do I. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that Netflix series.
What should our punishment be?
I think our punishment probably, I don't know, for the rest of our lives, we would have to manage Jarryd Hayne and his career.
Well, I think we could do that.
A punishment worse than death.
I think we could do it.
How? That's not humanly possible.
Well, don't forget that that relationship only has to continue as long as Jarryd lives.
Oh, so in your mind, just kill him.
Well, I think if we're going to, go on the record, so to speak.
Do you think when Jarryd Hayne finally leaves the Gold Coast, there will be like a sort of celebration from the city?
Well, I think...
Because, I mean, let's face it, he hasn't brought much to them, has he? Apart from about 4 or 5 unwanted pregnancies.
They'll be happy if he leaves. And the 5% that say they want him to stay, fucking wake up to yourself.
There is a particular tweeter that we'd like to shine a light on, Chip, and his name is Turtle Wilson. If you're listening, Turtle, we appreciate your interaction with our podcast. As I said, we're still in our infancy, to know that there is some kind of interaction.
Yeah, we dig the turtle.
We dig the turtle. So keep tweeting, Turtle, because we will keep mentioning you.
We'll do anything, Turtle.
We'll
feed you.
Let's not.
You can. We have alcohol.
Let's not throw out too many.
We have, cigarettes or.
No, listen. We're not drug dealers, Turtle.
You know.
So.
Well, but that's only a problem if he's selling.
I'm just saying. Turtle's welcome. Let's not get all criminal with it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, let's not cross the line.
Let's keep it in the level of fandom.
Okay.
And we're a big fan of yours, Turtle. So.
And to any children listening.
Exactly. Don't be listening because this is an explicit podcast.
Turn this off immediately. We go no to responsibility.
Bed. I think there are a number of clubs that have come out and are very interested, Chip, in Jarryd Hayne's signature. One of them is the Newcastle Knights. Now, is it me or the Newcastle Knights in the running for everyone now? Like, they seem to get everyone's casts off. Now, I have a theory that Adam McDougall's Manshake is funding their entire club. Do you have anything to say about that?
Well, I think Newcastle have become the staging ground for the Roosters B team.
They've effectively become that, haven't they?
So, because the relationship between Newcastle and the Roosters is so strong, you can move players between the two clubs.
Is it strong, though? Because people would argue that Newcastle and the Roosters are like chalk and cheese. One's the BHP steel town, and the other's the latte-sipping transit lounge. Now, I don't agree with either of those perceptions, but they are very disparate kind of teams, haven't they, as images go?
Well, we're disparate people, Eamon.
And getting very deep there, mate.
We come together through a commonality, which is to share our love of the game with our listeners.
Well, we have very similar colours. I mean, they're red and blue, we're red, white and blue. And
exactly.
Maybe, are you just going on that very sort of superficial level that we're close? Because our jerseys look the same.
You want to form an alliance. See,
This isn't Game of Thrones, Chip.
Well, I really think it's developing into that. I think if you have a battle long enough, you'll find that alliances become important.
Mm. Well, up in Newcastle, the winter has been coming for a long time. You know, 3 wooden spoons.
I tell you what, have Sean Kennedy-Dowell. Okay, please. Connor Watson, take him. Because he wants to play.
You know what the good thing about Sean Kennedy-Dowell going to the Knights is? Is he's much closer to his coke dealer now. I've just noticed a headline here, breaking news, Chip. Boyd Cordner wants Mitchell Pearce to stay at the Roosters. Could he possibly?
Well, I think he's Cordner.
And that's all we need to say here at the Voluntary Tackle. We thank you for your company, if indeed you've lasted to the end of the show. Please follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook and on YouTube. We're on all the platforms. No one currently watching, but we are, rest assured, on those platforms. Also, if you get a chance and you want fake rugby league news, visit www.thefaultreport.com.au. 9 out of 10 readers can't tell the difference, but until then, we'll see you next week. Chip, thank you so much for your company.
It's a pleasure to be here, as always.
And I am Eamon Brown, and we will see you probably not next week, but when something else interesting happens in the world of rugby league. Until then, good night.